And this morning, I'm quickly going to share about paths of grace. It's there on the slide. Just the grace, just that what we receive, that unmerited favor from the Lord, where we receive stuff that we don't deserve. But I was just talking about that grace, and I just want to highlight a few pointers around that. And the place in the Bible, I'm going to read for us out of Luke 19. I was reading this where Bartimaeus and Zacchaeus, the stories that we know, but I'm going to read it for us, and I trust that we will get something out of there this morning. But it starts where Jesus, he said to the 12 in Luke 19, verse 31, because Jesus wanted to go to Jerusalem. So that's why he's telling them, we're going to go to Jerusalem. And initially he wanted to go past another place, another town. But the guys there stopped them. And they said, you're not welcome here. I've got a map there. Can this show us the map? The detour that you'll see there, the red line. Jesus was refused there. That's where they think he was refused. And then they took a detour here, the Berea, all around. And then they come through Jericho again onto Jerusalem. That's just to give you an idea where all of this is happening. This is Jesus walking with his disciples. And it was amazing. If you go to those places or in just next to Jordan, all those places, I spent some time in Jordan. It's just amazing. You will read something out of the Bible, and then the guys will tell you, yes, that is just here. And if you see that, that's just there. And where that happened, that's just there. So, I'm just going to, in Luke 19, in talking to the 12, he said, see, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that's written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles, and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. So that's where they started. He's telling the disciples, but they don't realize what it's all about. So now they are moving. Okay, so Jesus is walking. And as he drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. It was a bit louder than that. And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, what do you want me to do for you? He said, Lord, let me recover my sight. Jesus said to him, recover your sight. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. So this is just one guy that was sitting there next to the road, and he heard about Jesus. He heard this is what everybody is talking about, the rumors and everything, and crying out. And he made sure that somehow his path can cross with Jesus, or with that group of people that's coming. And when their paths crossed, something happened there. And there was a God encounter for him. I'm just going to continue reading Luke 19. He entered Jericho. So that was still as Jesus was on his way to Jericho, and now he's entering Jericho, and was passing through, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich, and he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. Maybe like Pastor Tien's Jacob's. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your home today, at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. When they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And again, yeah, there's so many amazing things in these pieces of scripture. But again, Zacchaeus, he was there sitting, he heard about Jesus. He made a plan that his path can cross with Jesus. That there can be some intervention. And amazingly, Jesus just walked past and looked up and he said, man, come down, I'm going to eat at your home. I also want to do that. Just look at people and say, I'm going to eat at your place today. And then, yeah, it would be great. Maybe we must start doing it. So I just imagine that Zacchaeus, he was there spending time with Jesus. So they're eating together and talking and Jesus discussing things. And him just looking at Jesus, hearing what Jesus is saying, what's on his heart. Somewhere there, he just had a moment and say, wow, this is, Jesus got something that I want. Or everything that I've acquired, all my riches, I thought this is, I must be rich, I must have a lot of money, I must have all these things to get somewhere, and this is going to make me happy. Somewhere there was a moment where he realized that that's not enough. And that everything that he thought he's going to build his life upon, where there was just a moment where he said, okay, Lord, I'm going to give my things away. This is what I've done. And it reminded me to the thing, the goodness of God leads us to repentance. I think somewhere there in his home, he experienced something of the goodness of God. Where he just looked and he just started saying, Lord, this is what I've done. I've tricked these guys. I've took their money. And remember, this is a chief tax collector. This is not the guy that was lukewarm. I don't think he's the guy that came here and sitting here and just go home and he pretend to do all the nice things. Everybody knew he's taking their money. They know this guy's robbing us. And here he's standing up in his own home before all the people and say, I'm going to give back. I'm going to give fourfold. So what he's actually doing is he's breaking that. I believe he's breaking that hold of money and that idol and everything that he's put in front of him. He's doing something radical to break that hold on his life in the most extreme way that he could have imagined. And he just walked out there and this is what I'm going to do. So now you must imagine him coming to ours. Say we are all the guys that got robbed. And yes, there's, you know, your doorbell ring and then there's all the gates that you need to open before anyone can get close. Now you hear over the intercom, hi, it's Zacchaeus. I'd say, man, this is the guy that robbed me. Stay away. I'd say, no, I've got something for you. And he said, no, stay away. I don't want to do anything with you. You must go. You already took my money. You took my taxes. You took more than what I was supposed to pay. And he said, no, I've got something for you. I want to give you something. I think we will not open until he said, I want to give you money. Then all. And then he's going to come in and he's going to bring us a bag. And he's going to say, there's money I owe you. And we might look in the back and we think, wow, this is much more. He said, yes, but this is what I told the Lord. This is what I told Jesus that I'm going to give back. It is much more than what I told, but I want to make right. And we might ask him, so why are you doing this? What happened? Why are you doing such a radical thing? What was possible? And he would probably just say, well, I had Jesus in my house and I spent time with him. And this is the conviction that came over me. And this is, I want to make right. I spend time with Jesus. I think some of us might say that, wow, I also want to go and meet Jesus. Because there's something that happened there that, man, you were a wicked guy. And you turned like this. And it's also encouraging for us for today. I believe there's people that we think they're not going to turn. But if they can meet Jesus, there's a miracle that can happen. And they can turn. And they can turn around radically. So it was really be encouraged through this. Then maybe your wife might ask you, okay, so you, who was at the door? He said, no, it's just Zacchaeus. He brought us a tax refund. And they say, so how much? No, lots of money. And say, why did he do this? I said, well, he said he met Jesus. He met the rabbi Jesus. And then maybe we would say, maybe we must also go and spend time with Jesus and hear what he has to say. Because this, what he's doing is really amazing. And this is talking to me about that path of grace where we are walking, where we, Zacchaeus received something that he didn't deserve. He received salvation. All of us, many of us, have received lots of things that we don't deserve from Jesus. Where Jesus, the grace of the Lord kicked in and we got that unmerited favor. And often, as I was reading this and going through it, also look at some of the books, and I just came across, I just want to read that for you. Don Whitney, he wrote a book, Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life. And he said, think of spiritual disciplines as ways we can place ourselves in the path of God's grace and seek Him as Bartimaeus and Zacchaeus placed himself in Jesus' path and sought Him. The thing is, we cannot force God's hand. We cannot say, Lord, I want to do this so that I can get it. I cannot do this so that I... But we can be right there in the path where Jesus is going past. We can be there searching for Jesus. Looking for Jesus. And that's what I, what this is just speaking to me about is how to get almost positioning yourself just to be there where Jesus is passing by. This morning when we come together as a church, this is one of those moments. This is a, I believe this is a path of grace running through our church. So if we, if people can come in here, it doesn't matter who they are, there's a good chance that they will connect with Jesus and receive something, and their lives can change. So this is just, it's not go to church because it's good for you, and it's not that. It is just for me, there's a path of grace running through here, and Jesus is here. And when we're here, we can connect. I remember many testimonies of times in worship, times where people were preaching and saying things, and then almost not what he was preaching about, but just something that jumped out and it changed my life. Or in worship, just worshiping. Actually, just Lord, God just coming and He's just bringing peace in my heart for stuff that was really troubling me. Stuff that I was sleepless nights about. I don't have many sleepless nights, but sometimes it happens. But there's in this path of grace, there's a moment where Jesus can come and He can do something special. Another guy, John Frame, he wrote in a book about systematic theology. He wrote, this way of categorizing the means of grace is close to Luke's summary of early church. And just before that, what they say is there's the word and prayer and fellowship. Because I was also looking, I said, Lord, where, how can I get in this path of grace? What is necessary for me to get close to You, or just to get in a place where I can receive some of Your grace, where I can receive something that I don't deserve? And the things that they highlighted, and other guys as well, they said the prayer, the word, and fellowship. If you just break it down to basics. We can go into more the spiritual disciplines and a lot of that. But if you break it more down, it is the word, it is prayer, and it's fellowship. And they say if we go down to the church in Acts, you can actually see how those things were that what they were doing. How they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the word. Yes, in Acts 2, verse 42, they devoted themselves to apostles' teaching, that's the word, the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. So that prayer, that word, that fellowship. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all were believed, and it continues, how they were together, how they shared a lot of things. But those were things that were also present there. And I just realized that, I told the guys at intercession on Monday evening, when we come together and pray, we bring life, we change things. God is there, He hears our prayers, He honors it. We are changing stuff. And I've seen it in my life. When we come together at Bible study, God works through the Word. He works, He will reveal things to us. It can change our lives. When we come together in church or fellowship, wherever we come together, the fellowship also, it talks more, if you go more into it, it talks about church and more about covenant relationships. Because that's where the real blessing of God rests. Even in marriage, a covenant relationship between a man and a husband. Or in church, as we come together. Or as we partner in God's kingdom. It's all fellowship. But it's all positioning ourselves and coming in that path of grace. And that's what I want to put this in front of us. As I read this about Zacchaeus and Bartimaeus and all these guys, for me it's just amazing how God just came and He turned their lives around. He just did a miracle. For them, He did a miracle. But I'm not saying that we must do word and prayer and fellowship just to get stuff. But when we do it, there's a good chance that we will receive something of Jesus, that we will meet something there. And this is what this guy wrote, John Frame in System Theology. He wrote, "This way of categorizing the means of grace is close to Luke's summary of early church life in Acts 2, verse 42, how they devoted themselves to apostle teaching, the word, the fellowship, breaking of bread, and the prayers." There's even J.C. Ryle, he wrote a book about holiness. And he wrote, there's a similar system of categorizing when he writes, the means of grace, such as Bible reading, private prayer, regular worshiping God in church, where one hears the word taught and participates in the Lord's Supper, are laid down as a simple matter of fact that no one who is careless about such things must ever expect to make much progress in sanctification. So he's saying, if we are careless about these things, careless about the word, about prayer, about fellowship, coming to church, then don't expect to make much progress in sanctification. Don't expect to make much progress in becoming like Jesus. And then he continues, this is just him writing in his book. He said, "I can find no record of any eminent saint who ever neglected them, these things. They are appointed channels through which the Holy Spirit conveys fresh supplies of grace to the soul and strengthens the work which He has begun in the inward man." Our God is a God who works by means, and He will never bless the soul of that man who pretends to be so high and spiritual that he can get on without them, without the word, without prayer, without fellowship. This is what these guys wrote. Different people. How they break it down. And this is what I see. This is just God's, almost like a channel of God's grace. And I just want to give us just a new perspective. Because we read your Bible and pray every day, and there's songs about it. You hear it from small and everywhere. And we just, we must read our Bible, we must pray, go to church. But these things are key. This is stuff that God gave us, and it's key for us for growing in the Lord. We're not just doing it. And this is part of what we were talking about other Sundays. This is, we're building habits. it must almost become habits of grace. There's a book that a guy wrote, Habits of Grace, and it comes down to these things, and he just explore them a bit more, and talking about the word and prayer and fellowship becoming habits in your life, and having many moments where you're just there, where you can experience God's grace. And for me, what I'm thinking about all the time, I see people drifting. You don't realize. I told the story last time. When you're in the sea, you don't realize when you drift from God. If you're just swimming there, and you don't realize when you drift away from the coast. But once we start neglecting fellowship, the word, prayer, these things, it's easy to drift. It's easy just to find ourselves in a little while, man, what's going on in my life? I'm so far away from anything, and things doesn't make sense, and because we're drifting. And I really want to just say it here in as we are together, that we must help one another. If you don't see someone for a long time, maybe it's time to phone him. And say, man, are you okay? What's happening? Don't phone me and ask me what's happening in his life. You phone him. Because we are together. We need to help one another. I need help. Everyone needs help to continue in this road of grace. Continue searching, learning, following God. John Piper, he wrote in his book, The Essence of the Christian Life. He said, where the grace keeps passing, we need to learn to fight for joy in a way that does not replace grace. We cannot earn God's grace or make it flow apart from his free gift. He is saying that it's still a free gift. Don't do these things to say, Lord, now I must receive something from you. I've read my Bible. I've prayed today. Okay, Lord, so it is still grace. But we can position ourselves to get on, to go on getting as he keeps on giving. We can fight to walk in the path where he has promised his blessings. This is saying the same thing over and over as we're positioning ourselves. But the great end, I just want to add this. We talk about these things, prayer, word, fellowship. It's easy, you can all remember it. But the means to end is still to know Jesus. Not just to do these things that we can be at the right place. It's still to know Jesus. That's what we want. That is true joy. To know Jesus. To know him. And I just want to, Philippians 3 verse 8. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. John 17 verse 3 said, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And I just continue. This is Jeremiah 9 verse 23 and 24. Talks about the same thing. So that says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, let not the mighty man boast in his might, let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and know me, that I am the Lord who practice steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. This is the thing that God delights in. And I'm just adding this because we can so easily get into, now I just want to know more, or I just want to read more, you study, but just for the sake of doing it. You pray just for the sake of doing it. You just come here. The price is still to know Jesus. The price is still to fellowship with him. And that's our heart's desire. And that's what I want to pray, that as we do these things, as we come together, that even during this week, that you will just read through that scriptures in about Zacchaeus, about Bartimaeus. Read through and say, Lord, this is just, maybe ask the Lord, Lord, what happened there in Zacchaeus' house? What happened there in the house? Where he just stood up and he just started saying, you just want to change his ways. That encounter with Jesus, where Jesus says, salvation has come to this home. And I think through the almost the basic things, through the word, through prayer, through fellowship, let us make it, let us make a decision to value these things. Because we will be in the path of grace. We will be in a place where we will just experience God's grace for us. We will see Jesus. That's going to happen. And I know that we've got the testimonies, and we need to hold on to these testimonies. And today I want to really encourage us, because sometimes Bible study, sometimes prayer, sometimes for some other reason, it might feel boring. It might feel that, wow, there's no power in here, I'm just doing it. But keep on doing it. So keep on doing it. Keep on pressing through. Because we are aligning ourselves in that path of grace. And then lastly, I just want to say that, like Zacchaeus, when he met Jesus, I pray that we must, that we will just have a desire to bring people in to whatever we do. To bring people into our homes, or bring them here to church, make them part of what we're doing. Because when they meet Jesus, their lives are going to change. I still remember when I met Jesus, the day I decided to follow him. Looking at we had a cross there on the beach, close to Hermanus. And for me, I just realized what God has done for me. I've heard it so many times, but that day something was different. And it was the same with that kid. I just stood up, I was just crying, I just said, Lord, I want to change this, I want to stop this. I walked that night, I walked in front of a crowd, and I said, this is what happened in my life, this is what I want to change. Came back to the church, I walked up in front of the church, in the Dutch Reformed Church. I've never done it in my whole life. But that weekend when I came back, I said, I want to do something different. Because I've met Jesus. That changed my life. And that can happen for anyone else. So I really want to encourage us. Just invite people. Because we need to meet Jesus. We will see Jesus. As we come together, we bring life. We are life givers. When we go to the hospital, even when we're just in my house, in your house, coming for intercession on a Monday evening, wherever we come together, we're going to see Jesus. Let us stand. So this path of grace, it's my summary, 1 minute summary. Path of grace, the word, prayer, fellowship. And as we walk there, grace of God might just come and might just change our lives. So that's the same for me. I'm taking my Bible and I say, Lord, I want to be there in the path of grace. So maybe you need today just to ask the Lord to that something will just come alive, that something will just speak to you from the word, that something will just jump up again and say, wow, almost just be a renewing of something in your Bible reading. Maybe in your prayer life, maybe say, Lord, I'm praying about these things. I don't know, just talk to the Lord. Say to him, Lord, because that's life. That's changing life. And it's got, yeah, there's so many testimonies of how prayer changes things, how God speaks to us, where we take time to read His Word, to pray, and then also when we come together. Father, we stand before You today, Lord, and these are things that we do, Lord. We read our Bible, sometimes we read, sometimes we pray, sometimes we come to church. I pray, Lord, that You will come and do something new in our hearts today. That we actually will just have a desire to know You, Lord. That we will have a hunger for You, Lord. And I pray, Father, that we as a church will position us, Lord, on this path of grace. And we know, Lord, nothing has to happen, but we thank You that things do happen. We do receive Your grace. It doesn't have to happen. It's unmerited. We don't deserve it in any way, but it happens. And we thank You for that, Lord. Thank You that we as a church can come and thank You, Lord, for the things that we've received, for everyone here, how You are building Your church. We worship You, God.